Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Today we examine a situation that has developed within the borders of our northern neighbors. Canada doesn't seem to draw a lot of the religious liberty fire, but that peace-loving country is being challenged. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, is here to bring us up to date. Lincoln, what's going on up there?
Well, there's always good stories up from Canada, you know. It's not just that they make the best maple syrup and have the coldest winters. Yes. And have some of the nicest people. Religious liberty takes a little different track up there. In many ways, Canada, sharing, at least in its mainstream, not just particularly Quebec, in its mainstream activities, has the same basic origin as the United States. You know, it's stepchildren of Mother England.
Right.
And a lot of the laws and cultural understandings, and indeed, I believe, attitudes toward religion come from England. But in Canada, they don't have the U.S. Constitution, obviously. They have a different way of arriving at religious freedom and religious accommodations. For example, in Canada, there is no direct separation of church and state. And as a matter of historical reality, the Catholic Church had a favored position, particularly in Quebec, but elsewhere. And so a lot of their jousting and jostling is to not deny the money or state aid to Catholics, but to make sure that others get it too. Mm-hmm. So it's equal treatment. Mm-hmm. I think that is not the best and would be very problematic to incorporate that here. But that same lack of separation of church and state can make things go a little haywire. And currently, their social and legal shifts towards empowering gay and lesbian and transgender and so on rights has brought a very real conflict with religious liberty rights. In the United States, there's the claim that it has, but by and large, it's restricting Christians from acting prejudicially toward gays and lesbians.
Right.
You know, the argument in the U.S. is more, you know, how as a cake shop operator or a coffee shop operator, how can I refuse to give my services to these people? And I don't have much sympathy with that. But something very interesting happened fairly recently in Canada at an independent school called the Weber Academy, a very consciously non-denominational, non-religious school, which is not the same as saying that it was an atheist or an avowedly secular school.
Right.
It's just a school that doesn't want religious activity to compete or confuse the academic training that they're giving. And there'd been no problem with that for a long time. It was founded by a former education minister of Canada, so it is a very prestigious school. Then recently, something very troubling happened and rather odd. The parents of several Muslim students felt that their religion was being impinged upon by them not being allowed to pray and pray publicly at this school. And, of course, a Muslim prayer is a very public thing.
Yes.
Although I've got to say something, and for the sake of our listeners, in the United States, it's not necessary to prove that your church believes something for you to say that you have a conscience stand and you should be accommodated. But very often, the discussion centers around what the church requires.
Mm-hmm.
And the impression has been given, I think, somewhat falsely, maybe that's a strong word to use, but it's an unfortunate impression that's been created, that Islam requires the five times a day public prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad himself said that this was the ideal, but there were circumstances where you couldn't do it, right? It's not like the seventh-day Sabbath, say, from the Bible,
right.
The seventh-day Adventists keep. We're enjoined to keep it. You're not let off the hook because you're fighting a war at the time, which is a double problem.
Yes.
Should you be killing someone else anyway?
That's right.
Another commandment. But whatever you're doing, you still are called to honor the Sabbath day. Now, the only time I can think of, and this is food for thought, is where you might miss out, is if you're going to Australia on a Friday and you arrive on a Sunday, you will have no Seventh-day Sabbath.
Yes,
No one has the answer to that one, because if you keep it on the Sunday, you'll be out of sync when you come back, because you get your day back when you travel. But no, Islam doesn't depend on absolutely doing that, or you're not a good Muslim. But the idea is given in very often seeking accommodation that they must have it. This was the claim, that they had to have it, and this school was depriving them of their religious freedom. So they went to the Human Rights Commission in Canada, using public funding for their legal case, which is good to a point, but some things like that can also lead to more flippant legal challenges when there's not a cost or an inhibition. And amazingly, they were given the nod. And the school was asked to pay $26,000 for the pain and suffering that had been caused with these students. And the school now has to cooperate, which is very odd, because now it means that a non-denominational, non-religious school doesn't have general signs of religion, but it will have the very open sign. And I saw the photograph, which was quite startling, of in the gym, fairly large number of Muslim students, men in the front in rows, and then behind them the women, second-class citizens in Islam, bowing and praying. I mean, that's not sort of an inobtrusive form of religious faith. And it sort of gets on the intersection of rights and obligations, because on the separation of church and state, a secular environment, you don't want religion in there, because, you know, whose religion? You know, a Christian could feel a little put upon now with, in essence, this favoritism to Islamic expression. And yet if they get the same expression, it'll just be a potpourri of religious activity.
Now, this is the kind of thing that really just gets me going here, Lincoln. I got to say, this makes me a little upset. This would be like me going into a crowded restaurant and saying, excuse me, everyone, you've got to stop eating. You've got to be quiet because I have to talk to my God. And then I fold my hands and I thank God for my meal. And when I'm done, I say, okay, you can go back to your stuff now. That's what's happening in that gymnasium. That's what's happening in that school. That can't be right.
That's what I say. That's really my point. Even though, and I was about to say, we all pay lip service, more than lip service, we accept the principle that the individual conscience should be accommodated.
Right, right.
But that always on religion, in fact, with any right, there's a balance between your right and its effect on other people. And to twist a whole community in a school to allow you to do something that actually makes others uncomfortable, affects them, is in their face, I don't know, it's worth thinking about.
Well, you know, it reminds me of a statement on Facebook that I really like. Someone said, you know, if you do something, you say, I'm doing this because of my religion, that's cool. But if you say, you have to do this because of my religion, that's not cool.
Right. And harking to another program we had, that was the case with this woman down south who refused to issue marriage license.
Same idea. Exactly.
She was using her religious prerogative to stop someone else doing something that offended her. That's not really religious freedom.
Well, I believe these Muslims in Canada are simply using the uneasiness the world has about religion and accommodation to get something, to slide something in there that really is not necessary, that you pointed out.
I think so. And, you know, we shouldn't veer from that to being against Islam. You know, they have every right, I think, under not just under our laws, as fellow human beings, to follow their heart and seek God as they feel burdened. But to demand a whole change to other people for that is not very good.
Yes.
Because like when we're talking about Christian prayers, it's well established that public schools, and of course this is a private school, but public schools in the U.S., they not only don't have to, they're not allowed to project prayer because, you know, the prayer that they would come up with is almost certain to be offensive to someone else.
Right.
But it's also well established that a young person attending a state school is free to bow their head and pray and bless their food or whatever.
Yeah.
But prayer, by its very nature, as Jesus said quite plainly, is a private thing.
Yes.
But to make it public and to impinge on others' activities, I think, goes against the whole principle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, admittedly, Islamic prayer tends a bit that way anyway. but it's less offensive to the Muslims in their societies where they're a majority, because, you know, it doesn't matter so much when, you know, half the nation pauses and goes down on their knees and, you know, the traffic stops and all the rest, as it does in Saudi Arabia in some places sometimes. But culturally, it's quite almost abusive, I think, in a multicultural society to have this flaunted that way. When they they are allowed.
Yeah.
If the situation makes it difficult, then you either pray silently or do your prayer another time.
Oh, my. It would almost make me want to say to someone who comes to me demanding that, if a Muslim comes to me, and again, I'm not getting off on Muslims, getting off on these Muslims who are doing that thing in Canada. I'll simply say, okay, look, let me treat you the way that your country of origin would treat Christians. Let's find out what that is, and I'll apply that to you. How's that sound?
Well, you know, that sounds provocative.
Yes, it does. Yes,
That is true. But, you know, Jesus said we're to turn the other cheek. We're not to repay in kind.
That's not easy.
That's an easy one to answer, that Islamic countries, either that are under Sharia law or are majority Islam, give very short shrift to any other religion.
Yes.
I mean, that comes from the Quran. And that's a weakness from my perspective in their religion. But they have a right to have their religion.
Yeah.
You know, every religion is, in my view, is flawed in some way from someone else's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a Western liberal context, and of course with our concept of religious freedom, just a truism that Islamic countries don't administer anything close to religious freedom. And it's most extreme in Saudi Arabia. You get your head cut off if you try to change your religion.
Right.
But we do need to seek a way within our culture and our legal norms to allow any faith, and particularly in this case Islam, to operate. But we can't give them the whip hand on reshaping society in general and in essence forcing you, because it's sort of like someone saying, I want to read the Bible and you are going to read with me.
Yes, I mean, exactly.
That's an enforced thing, which this almost does, in my view.
Yeah.
I don't see a clear legal point here, but I see an emerging point of public morality and of how humans defer to each other.
Mm. Well, I tell you what, listening to these programs and talking with you, I see how inclusive and how intrusive and how absolutely everywhere religious liberty issues hide and wait to be either trampled on or upheld. It's pretty incredible. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. The website is libertymagazine.org to listen to these programs and also to subscribe to the magazine and to share the articles with others, read the articles. It's all right there at libertymagazine.org. Thank you, Lincoln. Appreciate your words of wisdom.
Always a pleasure.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.